I want to read something to you first before I get into my message. A member of a church who previously had been attending services regularly stopped going. After a few weeks, the pastor decided to visit him. It was a chilly evening. The pastor found the man at home sitting before a blazing fire. Guessing the reason for his pastor's visit, the man welcomed him, led him to a comfortable chair near the fireplace, and waited. The pastor made himself at home but said nothing. In the grave silence, he contemplated the dance of the flames around the burning logs. But after some minutes, the pastor took the fire tongs, carefully picked up a brightly burning ember, and placed it to one side of the hearth alone, and then he sat back in his chair, still silent. The host watched all this in quiet contemplation. As the one lone ember's flame flickered and diminished, there was a momentary glow, and then its fire was no more. Soon it was cold and dead. Not a word had been spoken since the initial greeting. The pastor glanced at his watch and realized it was time to leave. He slowly stood up, picked up the cold, dead ember, and placed it back in the middle of the fire. Immediately, it began to glow once more with the light and warmth of the burning coals around it. As the pastor reached the door to leave, his host said, with a tear running down his cheek, "Thank you so much for your visit, and especially for your fiery sermon. I will be back in church next Sunday." For those of you that didn't get it, I'll be available at the end of it. Service. And we can explain to you more thoroughly. Hallelujah. Today I'm going to talk to you about fire. Fire is powerful. While fire can be a strong devourer, as California well knows, that's a negative picture. Fire is also a very positive when it pictures passion, especially the holy passion of God or holy passion for God. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24 about God's identity. And that scripture says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Now, from the beginning of the Bible, God manifests himself through a lot of images of fire. First, we see God as fire in Genesis 15, where God made a covenant with Abraham. He appeared to Abraham as a smoking oven and a burning torch as he cut a covenant with Abraham. And then in Exodus chapter 3, the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And the funny thing about it, the miraculous thing was the bush would not consume itself. And then after the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, we read in Exodus chapter 13 that the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. A lot of fire with the Lord. Then, not too long after that, the law was given in the midst of fire. In Exodus 19, verse 18 says, now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And later on in verse 24, in chapter 24, verse 17 says that the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of all Israel. Moving forward throughout the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, we know about this king that put the three Hebrew children in a fiery furnace. And after a while, he not only saw the three Hebrew children being okay in that intense fire, but he says that in that midst of a fire, he saw the form of the fourth man in there. And he said that the fourth is like the Son of God. So God is a fiery God, and he can dance through the fire. Daniel later on had a vision of God as the Ancient of Days. And in Daniel 7 verse 9 says, his garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A lot of fire. That was a vision that God showed Daniel. And then we move on to the New Testament. And we find out in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, in an upper room in Jerusalem, the believers of the Lord Jesus were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and divided tongues of fire sat upon each of them. That fire was the fire of God once again. Old Testament, New Testament. In many of these occurrences, there had to be a preparation for the fire of God to show up. This is because God, as a consuming fire, destroys whatever is opposed to his holiness. And he doesn't want to destroy people just to destroy people. He wants people to become holy so that he can appear as the fiery God that he is. And so different people prepare differently. Abraham, he believed. Moses, he took his shoes off. The Israelites applied the blood. And then the day before God showed up in the mountain, they sanctified and washed themselves before presenting themselves at Sinai's mountain. The three Hebrew children, they just refused to worship an image. The disciples in the upper room, they waited and they prayed for 10 days. All these different people at different times in history stood in awe of a holy God that would show himself as fire. Now, the interesting thing is that the fire of God is welcomed by those who separate from sin and bow before their Creator. Are we ready for the fire of God in our lives? The same consuming fire can be either destructive or it can be cleansing, depending on the one who is in the fire. The prophet Malachi, referring to the return of Messiah, refers to a spiritual purging in Malachi chapter 3. He says, behold, he's coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Cleansing, purifying fire, purging fire, pruning fire. This fire is intended to consume the dross in people, consume the old man that refuses to die. We're called not to shrink back from that fire. We're called not to shrink back from the pruning shears of the vine dresser. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, John says that God is love, even when he has his pruning shears in his hands. He is love. You can trust him. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said to the Romans, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that's the old man, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Again, a sacrifice to be burned by the fire of God. Job, in Job 23:10, he declared, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, how is gold tested? By fire. A day is coming, according to the prophet Zechariah, that God's people Israel will experience a severe testing. Zechariah declares in Zechariah 13, and it shall come to pass in all that land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cast off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. And I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. That was Israel. That will be Israel at one point. What about us? Our God wants to refine us in the fire in preparation for the return of our bridegroom, King Jesus. You see, Jesus is both a consuming fire and perfect love. He's both. He wants to consume everything in our lives that is not of him and that stands in opposition to his best for us. All those things in us that are not completely of God must be put on the altar and become as an offering made by fire to the Lord. That phrase was used in Leviticus very often to the priests. An offering made by fire to the Lord. And that's what we need to do with our old habits and old things that are not pleasing to God. Interesting that we were singing today about the altar. I didn't plan it. The Lord did. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, Jesus is telling the church, and he tells the church, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. The gold that Jesus refers to in this verse is godly character that is produced, is a character that reflects Jesus. But first, the fire has to come. The fire refers, in this case, to tribulation or affliction or distress or calamity or even persecution. In the last days, there's coming a great escalation of fire on earth. God will use the fire to drive us towards the Lord as never before. His word is going to sustain us with hope and faith. And then in our desperation for God, that will lead us to repent and consider the changes that we need to make in our own lives to align ourselves more closely with Jesus, to Jesus' character in us, and to his will for us in our lives. And as we embrace the changes that God's Spirit inspires within us, we become more like Jesus. This is the way that we buy gold in the fire. It says we buy this gold because the price tag sometimes can be steep. This price is called endurance, and some of us don't want to hear about that word. Our prayer is that we all be changed into the image of Jesus in the midst of fire. May we remain loyal to our Savior and persevere in faith so that he may show himself strong on our behalf. As 2 Chronicles declares, may we be victorious in every fiery trial, as Peter reminds us to. And may we have cause to rejoice, because another purpose of our trial is this one. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our God is on fire for us. Amen. The question is, are we on fire for him? The priests in the tabernacle in the wilderness had specific instruction. And that instruction came from the Lord, and it said, a fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. Now we happen to be temples of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And some of our fire is just gone. God said, it shall never go out. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 12:35, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. In other words, be ready to move, but make sure that the zeal of God is in you. Don't let that lamp burn out. John the Baptist said about Jesus that Jesus was going to baptize those that followed him with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Even the psalmist David spoke about God and his servants in Psalms chapter 104, verse 4. He spoke of God's servants, saying, who makes his angel spirits, his ministers, a flame of fire. If you belong to Jesus, you are his minister. And he calls you and I to be on fire for him. The pattern is very clear in the word. We are to burn. We are to be on fire for the Lord. We are to have holy passion within us. You know, we don't want to be found among those mentions in Matthew 24, where it says, and because lawlessness will abound at the latter time, the love of many will grow cold. Meaning, the fire of many Christians will go out. We want to obey the commandment of the Lord through his brother Jude. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. And the love of God is a fiery love, a very passionate love that burns. The power of Pentecost only came after the disciples waited in prayer. Every person in that upper room in Jerusalem was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were transformed into blazing spiritual torches. Before that day ended, 3,000 people believed in Jesus and were baptized in Jerusalem. Can we pray and believe for a fresh wave of the Holy Spirit in our midst here in LaBelle? Look, Romans 12 commands us to be fervent in spirit. Oh, we are very fervent in some fleshly things, but in the spirit, the word in Greek for fervent means to boil like hot liquid or to glow like hot metal. How do we keep the fire burning within each one of us? How do we maintain the fire for our lifetime? The God who birthed the church in a baptism of fire wants us to tend the flames and see revival in our day. And for that, we need oil. Remember the 10 virgins, the parable? 5 of them were wise, and they had plenty of oil. They made sure that there was enough oil in their lamps. And the oil of the Holy Spirit must become more and more important to us in our daily life, not just in church. We need to depend upon the Holy Spirit as the early believers did. We don't need to depend so much on technology, on programs. We don't need to depend so much on eloquent preachers, on professional worship leaders. We don't even need to depend on our own abilities. Let's ask the Lord to rekindle our love for him, to light a fire in our souls, to forgive us for being and staying lukewarm. May we be able to proclaim with the psalmist who said, I have been anointed with fresh oil. And that oil is to be used to burn like fire. Let's pray for the seal of the Lord to be a fire within our bones every day of our lives. As we have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus and receives eternal life from him, now let's dedicate the rest of our physical lives to burn for him and his cause on the earth. So Father, we thank you for the fire that you have told us about, for the way you manifested to the people, showing the fire, burning those things that were not necessary. The fire is showing your zeal, your love, your care for us, so that we can have life and life more abundant. Lord, many times we don't want to go through hard times, and yet you have chosen the fire of the hard times to build character in us. Father, let us not waste even those hard times. Let us bring ourselves to the altar where your holy fire burns all that is not of you in us. Help us to become those whom you have called to evangelize the whole world, to represent Jesus here on earth, even in La Belle. Not just on Sundays, but every day of the week as we go about our business. Father, I thank you that just like Jeremiah, your word is fire in our bones. And Father, as we allow your word to burn within us, may the zeal of the Lord consume us, and everything that is not of you may be burned, that we can shine as gold for the sake of the Lord Jesus and the kingdom. Help us, Father, rekindle our fire, and may we be to your glory and honor. I bless your people, and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.